This is an encore presentation of Mouthful from August 24th, 2014, where Mouthful revisits a favorite topic, Pu'er Tea, and tea from the Yunnan region of China with Larry and Yang Su Chin of Pure Pu'er. Again, you are listening to an encore presentation of Mouthful from August 24th, 2014 on KRCB-FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa. Enjoy!
Chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees. Chicken in the pots, the mother of the Petalumis. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken Petaluma, never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan here in the flesh. Been on the other coast for a couple of Sundays. Very interesting back in the New York and New England area. The weather especially was really interesting. It was so much like here. There was almost no humidity. Just enough that your skin felt really nice. Temperatures in the mid-60s to mid-70s. Just not at all like you think of the East Coast in August. It was pleasant, but sort of, I don't know, disconcerting. And then I come back here, and we've got really lovely weather on the cool side, which I like. Lovely day at the farmer's market yesterday, the Santa Rosa Original Farmer's Market. I did a cooking demo and book signing. Thanks to everyone who came out for that. Lovely farmer's market today in Sebastopol again. You know, there's farmer's markets on the East Coast. There's farm stands. I was in New England. There are farm stands all up and down the North Shore of New England and a lot of wineries as well. But I have to tell you, when it comes to produce, there's no place like home. Everywhere I went, I saw tomatoes, and they were all the same variety of tomato. They are very good things to eat, but not just the amazing diversity that we have here. One thing I did find in a little tea shop in Northampton, Massachusetts, I found a selection of several Pu'er teas. I thought, okay, they're on the East Coast as well. And that brings me to tonight's topic. It's with great pleasure that I welcome back Yang Su and Larry Chin, Pure Pu'er. The last time that you were here on Mouthful, you were living in Corte Madera. Now, You live in Sonoma County, so welcome.
A little closer to commute to the radio station.
Yeah, and you are now regulars at the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market on Saturdays, right? Every Saturday?
Yes.
And then every other week in Sebastopol.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to get up close and personal with you, Larry, and lift your microphone just a little bit.
Okay.
There we go. Yes, that's going to make you sound better. So you're just, both of you are just back from a trip to Taiwan and China?
Yes. By the way, I just wanted to congratulate you on. Before I forget, I wanted to congratulate you on your new book on the vinaigrettes. So I think I could really use it.
Thank you very much.
I'm the kind of guy who makes salads that are very boring. So I think it would be really.
Well, great. I hope we liven that up a little bit. Yeah. And it's very easy. That book is very easy. But we're here to talk about tea, and I'll talk about my book now. You had. You brought back a new tea, or you were telling me something at the market yesterday about a new black tea.
Yeah, we got actually we found a black tea which is kind of usually black tea is baked, and we found one that is actually being just rolled and sun dried twice, so it's kind of like raw, like a like poor tea. But it still tastes like black tea, more mm-hmm. of a peachy kind of flavor to it, and a really beautiful fragrance. And it's from like 200 something year old tea trees. Mm-hmm. So, and it's pressed into a cake as well. So it's kind of a new thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's kind of a new old thing because it's a traditional way. I guess they used to make the black tea, but they've been working on a certain method for the last 3 or 4 years, and mm-hmm. they've kind of perfected it, so it's kind of interesting. We're going to introduce a little bit.
So, Yunnan is the most the important province mm-hmm. To make a black tea in history.
Oh, really?
So in old day, yeah, they don't use the machine to bake the tea. It's traditional. It's sun dry too. Mm-hmm. And then after China changed the government, like Mao Zedong mm-hmm. Generation, and then they start using the modern ways to baking process.
And is that with oven heat or that sort of thing?
Yeah, baking, it goes through the hot heat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the traditional way is still sun dry. So we tried the tea, we feel amazing. I mean, because it's so much work doing the traditional way, mm-hmm. and then have one group of young people. I mean, young is younger than me. So they love tea. They respect the tea, respect the earth, nature. The mother land have the tea mother's land. So they want anything go back the traditional way, original mm-hmm. way, the best quality organic way. So mm-hmm. then when I found the tea, we were so lucky, and we were so happy too. So that's the story. This trip, we found the great tea this time.
Oh, that's great. And you began by importing poor, right?
Yeah, we're still importing poor. Uh-huh. Yeah, and consider this black tea too because it's really very high quality.
Mm-hmm. And you do direct importing, right?
Yeah.
You go to China and you find the teas.
Yeah, we found the tea. We're close to the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
we drank a lot of tea on our last trip.
Yeah. How often do you go? How often do you
I normally I go 2 to 3 times a year.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, because right now poor tea is so popular. Mm-hmm. It's not just in China, in Asia. It's even in the United States right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can easy to find the poor tea everywhere, but it's harder to find the very good quality poor.
Right, that's one thing that I'm so thankful mm-hmm. that you're here. You're so I trust you with the quality. It's really great.
So sometimes do business with Chinese, sometimes it's about the relationship.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's not just a call by phone or write an email. Sometimes you arrive to their farm or to their store, and then they feel you're so close. Yeah.
Yeah. So for somebody who wants to discover poor tea, and I know that we're going to talk about the health properties, but what's a good place for people to start? I know that if they just go into a store and they see poor tea on the shelf, they can not get something good.
You always try to you can try poor tea from green or black. That's mm-hmm. fine, but you have to remember when you go to store, you always try the blue you know, from first brew to sixth brew,
mm-hmm.
or you know, more than five brew, not just the first three brew. You feel excellent or you feel so good, and you purchase the tea. You want to know the quality. You have better just try as many brew as you can.
Mm-hmm. And so you want to try it first. You don't want to buy it without trying.
Yeah, you smell. It's a different quality. When mm-hmm. you drink it, it's a different quality. And sometimes when you brought little bit sample back to brew again, it's different too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at least you drink enough brew in the store before mm-hmm. you purchase, because a lot of poor tea right now, they, you know, you can, people talk about fake poor.
Mm-hmm.
They make it so good right now. If you drink first three brew, you still cannot tell it's real or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Real poor tea, if you really try from first brew to tenth brew, suppose the flavor all keep the same.
Uh-huh.
You know, they can be lighter, but have the same aroma, same flavor.
Uh-huh.
But if a fake pour, you can brew for three brew, it's so excellent, so good. But suddenly just
then
stop.
They drop off.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
I would recommend you get it from a good company, too, because over the years we've had so many people tell us either that they didn't like pour tea or, I mean, I've had people tell me that this is the first time I've tried it that I've actually liked it, and
mm-hmm.
I've had people say that I tried to like it before,
mm-hmm.
and I went to even tea classes before, and mm-hmm. They found that it was a lot different from what they experienced previously. So
mm-hmm.
I would say that make sure you get it from a good vendor,
yeah,
because your experience is going to could be quite different.
Yeah, I know. Years ago, I bought some just in a market off a shelf, not that I could try first. Oh, it's nasty. Very nasty. And, you know, one thing I find, I don't care for the green so much, mm-hmm. the young green.
Mm-hmm.
I know some teas that I thought that I did like mm-hmm. that I thought were black, you've told me were green, mm-hmm. but they're much older. But those young green ones I find really astringent. It's the earthy... Yeah. The earthy, silky ones. That
Normally, 80% in market, people drink it black pour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Green pour, if you can find it at least 5 years,
mm-hmm.
it's better because, you know, they are belong to raw food. So under 3 years, kind of too raw.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so you have to wait the age enough for green. But the black pour, after 2-3 years... That's okay. It's already very gentle in the body.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of the health properties, because you're very excited about some of the things you've seen happen, Larry.
Well, recently, my most recent thing that I've been pretty excited about is about with diabetes, because usually we talk to people about cholesterol, but it just seems like the longer we're in the business... Actually, the more I get impressed with the tea, and I get kind of amazed at some of the stories that we hear. And most recently, there's some good customer of ours, Hispanic couple from, they live in Hillsburg, but they go to the Santa Rosa market, and they introduce the tea to the sister-in-law. They've been drinking it regularly because they were for the health benefits, you know, weight loss, cholesterol. And they were explaining to me, like, the Hispanic population has a very, an epidemic, really, of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I know many people here in Mexico that have all these problems. And so they introduced it to their sister-in-law who lives here, and her blood sugar was around 400, which is really high, because I think it's normally between like around 80 to 120 is like kind of normal. And so within 3 or 4 months of drinking the tea, she was originally started drinking it, doing it with some chia seed, as I had kind of recommended to her, but now she's just drinking the tea, and her blood sugar dropped from 400, and it is now normal. And that is the amazing thing, I thought, is because it's been tested by her doctor, and she is due for some
major surgery, and they were waiting for her blood sugar to stabilize, and now that has, so she's going to go through with the operation. So it's it's not a little thing. This is a really
big thing. And did she make any other changes or just add poor tea to her diet?
She said no, that she hasn't done anything else.
That's really that's a pretty remarkable figure.
Yeah, it's astounding, I think.
Yeah. And has any medical is anyone studying this?
Yeah, I printed out these things. I look it off at PubMed, but there has been, some research. I think this is dating from 2010, but there are different studies going on about the poor tea for diabetes. I can, from my experience, and I'm certainly no doctor or health expert, but the feedback that I get from the many people that I talk to is that you really have to try it and see how it works for you, because everyone's different. So I have people, I mean, good friends that have tried it and have done nothing, and I've had other ones, people that have had really significant results. So you don't really know until you try it yourself. But I would say in general, there's just so many different health aspects to it that you're pretty sure, if you look at the numbers, that you're going to be benefiting from one of them at least.
Uh-huh. And you said something about chia seed with it. Would you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I forgot to bring my certificate. I'm kind of proud. I just got a U.S. trademark on poor chia.
Congratulations. I knew you'd been working on that.
Yeah, I've got it on two different spellings, working on a couple of the other ones. But so the reason I've been doing this breakfast myself for almost a year. And so I just basically brew the black pour like you're used to, you know, how you brew it. And then I just take some chia seed. I mix in about a couple tablespoons of chia seed with it, and then wait for about 10 minutes for it to absorb the pour tea. And then I just drink it. It's kind of like a cream of wheat consistency. And the thing that I think that's amazing about it is that it's only 70 calories and it gives you huge amounts of energy. And the reason why I started doing it originally is because I found out about the chia seed, and I wanted to do it because I just thought it would be really healthy. But I found it was really easy to lose weight doing it, and not that I didn't have much weight to lose.
I didn't say you don't look like you can
I didn't
spare
do it
much.
To lose weight, but the thing that amazed me is that I do like to eat. I can eat a lot, and it satiates my appetite more than any other food. I can eat it for breakfast, and the amazing thing is you get so much energy out of it. I can go to 12 or 12:30 and sometimes work out, you know, for an hour and a half or two, and just on this combination. So my theory on it is that the chia absorbs the poor tea, because chia absorbs about eight times its weight, and it forms a gel. And this has been discussed with doctors that promote the chia seed. They're talking about how it coats your stomach and it prevents your stomach acids from from digesting it so quickly. So that's why it releases it very slowly. So it's kind of like a sponge, and then it's kind of like a slow release of poor tea. And I feel like I just get a lot of energy, and you know, it just satiates your appetite. And if you look at it, the numbers nutritionally, it's with the combination of the chia, it's just phenomenal. It's got like six times the amount of calcium of milk. It's got just about everything. Potassium.
I didn't realize it was a good source of calcium.
Yeah, you just go down the line, and it's. It's just amazing. It's more potassium, I think they said, than a banana, and you go down the line of everything, and it's just
that's great news for people who don't love bananas.
Yeah,
I'm one of them.
Yeah. So some people, depending on the people, some people might think it's too. You know, the consistency might be the biggest issue, I think, with people.
Let it sit for 30 minutes before you drink it, or you'll be eating it with a spoon, and it's sort of like Jell-O.
Yeah. Some people say, oh, I don't like a mushy kind of, the gelatinous kind of consistency to it. But that's actually part of the benefit as well.
Right. And so it doesn't work to swallow it right away and have it absorb in your stomach. You have to let the chia seed do its absorption before you eat it.
And the funny thing is, it's kind of a combination of two very ancient like superfoods. It's a combination of pura tea and, mm-hmm. and chia, which the Aztec Indians, they use it. They said the warriors use it, and they use it for like endurance running. So it's kind of an interesting combination of two different cultures, ancient cultures.
So I try the chia seed too. I have a weak stomach, so normally I would like to soak longer, and also I add more water mm-hmm. or more tea, something like that, because this way I don't need to eat too thick.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so I mean it depends. You can, and after I use this way, I feel much better.
Okay, that's good to know.
But I've had two different gentlemen that have lost like 25 pounds in about 2 to 3 months with this combination. One of them, he also had, he used to get tingling in his scalp from high blood pressure. His doctor told him he had high cholesterol and high blood pressure, mm-hmm. and now he doesn't take any medication at all. So that's a pretty big thing.
That sounds pretty amazing. You know what? We're going to take a little musical break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have Larry and Yang Su tell us what exactly is pu'er tea, because here we're talking about all these magical properties. And I think some people probably don't know what pu'er exactly is. We'll be right back.
This is an encore presentation of Mouthful from August 24th, 2014, where Mouthful revisits a favorite topic, pu'er tea, and tea from the Yunnan region of China with Larry and Yang Su Chen of Pure Pu'er. Again, you are listening to an encore presentation of Mouthful from August 24th, 2014 on KRCB-FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa. Enjoy!
You're listening to Mouthful. That lovely music is from a CD called The Way of Tea, appropriate tonight. So, pu'er. What exactly is pu'er tea?
Pu'er tea is a type of tea that's only grows in the mountains in Yunnan, China, and it comes from the Camellia sinensis assamica, which is a big leaf variety of the pu'er tea tree. Sometimes they can come in bushes, but I mean, the highest valued pu'er tea comes from trees and older trees.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody is used to drinking, just say, English breakfast tea or Earl Grey tea, it's the same, it's from the Camellia sinensis, it's from the same variety, right?
It's from the Camellia sinensis, but I don't know if it's the same variety.
Okay.
I don't know if it's all from the,
or the
big,
same family.
Big leaf.
Yeah, same family. So it's
but that's baked. There's a big difference,
right? I just want people to know that, you know, it starts out similar. It's the Camellia tea. It's not something different, like say the rooibos from Africa. That's a totally different thing. That's not tea by our definition.
Right.
So it comes from Yunnan.
Yes, it comes. It comes from the mountains in Yunnan, China. The earth there is like a reddish, very loose earth. And I think they've tried to grow it in other places, but it really only grows there. And also the way it's processed, it's a raw tea, so it's not baked like other teas. They just roll it and sun-dry it. And the black pour goes through an additional process called the wardway, which...
what's it called, the process?
The wardway, which...
Wardway?
Uh-huh. Yeah, wardway.
Wardway?
Better defer to my wife's pronunciation.
Okay.
And so they roll it and sun-dry it, and then it goes through... It's almost like a composting process where they sprinkle some water on it, and they pile it and unpile it for about 45 to 70 days, and it mellows out the tea, and it becomes less acidic, less caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different from regular black tea as well, because it's regular black tea is high in caffeine, and this is low in caffeine. So mm-hmm. a lot of people are really shocked, and they say, what, it's black tea, but it's got to have more caffeine. It's not because of the way it's processed and the way it's aged. As it ages, it loses the caffeine.
Mm-hmm. It also seems that, I mean, from my perception, because the first time I tasted it was here on Mouthful about 7 or 8 years before I met you guys. Somebody made me a cup of pour tea, and that was it. I completely changed how I drink tea. From that night on, I've been drinking pour tea. And it seems to me that the tannic acid, you know, that part that makes the tip of your tongue, you know, react, it seems that the tannic acid has been resolved so that it's smooth and you don't need to put cream in to sort of tame it down. Is that sort of an accurate...
Yeah, I tell people, I say, you can do a interesting test. You take regular tea, like black tea, and let it sit for an hour, and you drink it, and it's going to be like really bitter. And
yeah.
And you can take pour tea and let it sit all day long. It'll become probably too strong, but you can add water and dilute it. But it never gets bitter.
It never gets bitter, and it never gets tannic.
Right. Also, the difference between pour tea and other teas is that pour tea, they call it a living tea, so you let it breathe air. Because it has living microbes in it, and that's part of as far as we're talking about health benefits go, that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why it has these benefits that other teas don't have, because it has the living microbes. You don't kill everything in the baking process.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes teas are baked many times at really high temperatures, but this is just never gets those kind of high temperatures.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why we age it like in bamboo, or we just age it, and that's why it'll improve with age, and as you know, it gets earthier and less acidic, more body, more complex as mm-hmm. it ages.
When you make it at home, what should people know about how to make it, other than to use one of your handy little teapots, which I love? But you don't. I know that, say, with English tea, the tradition is you put the tea in the teapot and you put water on it, and then it sits and it gets stronger and stronger. That's not how you want to make pour tea.
Actually, pour tea is very easy too. I mean, you can brew just one cup or just make a whole pot of tea. So like Larry just said, the black pour doesn't turn bitter at all. So you can just one tablespoon, about 50 ounce of water. So you can soak it in the whole pot and serve it on table.
Okay.
You can brew it by the pot, or you can brew it cup by cup. You can mm-hmm. brew it in your cup. A lot of people ask us, well, you need some kind of special utensil or teapot to make it. We tell them, you know, you can brew it in your cup if you want. It's just a matter of how you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be drinking on a regular basis, you have to find, usually want to find the way that's most convenient, whatever fits in your lifestyle.
Right. I find that the pots that you have.
Piaoyi teapot.
Yeah, ones from, they're from Taiwan, right?
Yeah, made in Taiwan.
Yeah, and they just have that little release button that puts the tea down. Yeah. That just is so convenient.
Yeah, it's very convenient. And also you can see that it's like, if you buy the one teapot and buy the strainer and buy the pitcher, so actually it costs more than Piaoyi teapot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Piaoyi teapot is three things all set together. So
right.
It's very convenient. You can put on the kitchen counter, office table. It's a good for a tea drinker.
Yeah, I use mine several times a day.
It was invented by an oolong tea farmer from Taiwan, and that's where Yangtze was from.
So
I'm from Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. we're the U.S. representative, and I translate the materials for them into English and Spanish for them.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah.
So you've got something sitting here, and I want to see. Is this the?
That's the chia. There we just.
Is that the chia seed?
Yeah, this is chia seed, and normally we introduce to customer if they think the healthy benefit from pure tea and chia. This is the thing we introduce for them. Actually, we tried a few chia too, because some chia is very it costs a lot of money. Some chia is very cheap, so we try at least like a 5-6 kind. And we found that this one is really good and really have that kind of energy, digestion benefit with pu'er tea together. So that's why we stay with this one.
And it's Mila brand?
Yeah, Mila.
Mila?
Yeah.
And you guys have this at your booth, right? Do you sell this at your booth?
Yeah, we not really have a... This is not our main item, but okay. If a customer come here, they asking, try to convenient, we just help them
we
purchase.
We have it on our website. Yeah.
I have it on your website, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the reason why this brand, even though it's a lot more expensive than the other brand, the reason why so far that it's the brand that I prefer is because they have a... proprietary method of slicing the seed, which is supposed to help it retain the omega-3, the fatty acids. And that's why I believe that when you have the full seeds that it just passes through you and you don't get the full benefit of the chia seed.
Uh-huh.
And I mean I haven't done any chemical analysis of it, but all I can tell you is that after I take the chia we've tried all these different brands, the mm-hmm. whole seed and everything else, and I can tell you that it for me it just gives me more energy more quickly, and I like the taste better, I like the feel better. So mm-hmm. that's the bottom line for me is what does it do for you? So
mm-hmm.
it comes out to like around a couple dollars a day, which if you think about it, it's really cheaper than eating a normal breakfast,
uh-huh.
and it's so easy. I took it on my trip. It's so. Because the chia seed doesn't spoil,
right.
And you don't have to cook it. So it's a raw food as well. But so the combination of the pu'er tea and the chia, it's really easy to bring with you. And I did bring it on our last trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to areas that either you don't think the sanitation's too good, or sometimes you just need that certain regularity in your diet to keep you going. Because when you're on your trip, the last thing you want to do is have digestive problems.
Absolutely. And they're so common when you travel.
So it's kind of nice to have it with you, knowing that you can at any time just go back to your normal diet and mm-hmm. take a little step back. Because I know you want to try experience the culture of foods, which I do, but mm-hmm. sometimes you want to have your own thing too.
Sure, sure. We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back here on Mouthful with more talk about pu'er tea.
This is an encore presentation of Mouthful from August 24th, 2014, where Mouthful revisits a favorite topic, pu'er tea, and tea from the Yunnan region of China with Larry and Yang Su Chin of Pure Pu'er. Again, you are listening to an encore presentation of Mouthful from August 24th, 2014 on KRCB-FM, Windsor, Santa Rosa. Enjoy.
Thank you.
more music from The Way of Tea. And here's one way to put Pu'er into context. Most people know dim sum. You go to San Francisco to eat dim sum. You find a little bit of dim sum here and there in the North Bay, but really you want to go to one of the dim sum houses in San Francisco. So what's the tradition with Pu'er and dim sum?
You know, we have two or three big groups drink Pu'er tea. One is Tibetan, one is Mongolian, and one is Cantonese. Cantonese are original. When they service dim sum house, they only service tea is only Pu'er, because Pu'er is very good to digestion, cut down the grease, you know. Mm-hmm. So when you eat a lot of dim sum, you know, dim sum come a lot of fat, you know, animal fat. So when you eat couple dim sum, you feel full. So, but then when you drink one cup of Pu'er, you feel okay again. Then you can continue eat. And dim sum house for Cantonese is like a social place. They can sit there from 1 hour to 3 hours. You know, just on the dim sum in the dim sum house. So for them, eat so many so much food there. So they need to have a tea go with. So original only service Pu'er. So nowadays, you can in the dim sum house select so many kind of different tea. Mm-hmm. But the best tea go with dim sum always is Pu'er. Yeah.
Do dim sum houses in San Francisco, do they offer Pu'er?
Yeah, they always have Pu'er. They give you the tea menu.
Ah.
And you just say, I need a Pu'er tea.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you can see, because you just see, when you sit there for 30 minutes to 1 hour, tea soaked there for 30 minutes to 1 hour. You try any kind of tea, only Pu'er tea don't turn bitter.
Right.
And always
yeah.
smooth.
Yeah,
and also, you feel very comfortable in your stomach.
Uh huh. That's good. That's really good to know. That is a great, great tip. Now, we're going to go back to your trip, because you've been holding out on us, Larry. There's a story about the Jade Snow Mountain. And so tell us about this.
Jade Snow Dragon Mountain. It's in Lijiang, which it's my second time being there, but the thing that I wanted to see really there was this mountain, because I know that the story about Lijiang is the elevation, I think, is about 7,500 feet there, so they don't grow the tea there because it's too high. It's in the northern part of Yunnan, but
so the tea grows at what, at about 6,000 feet?
Yeah. And the reason why it's an important city is because it's where it was a trading center, and it's where they called the Tea Horse Road, and they said it's the oldest and highest trading route in the world, which goes from Yunnan through the Himalayas to Tibet. And it was interesting to see this huge snow-capped mountain and to think that they were carrying for centuries along these treacherous mountain roads, you know, hundreds of pounds of Pu'er tea, and they would trade the emperor, the Chinese emperor would trade the Pu'er tea for the Tibetan horses, which were known for their endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Tibetans then brought the Pu'er tea, and they exchanged it. It was just their commerce for different goods that they brought from other places. So yeah, it was really amazing, because it was raining most of the time. On this trip we went to Taiwan, and we went to Chengdu, and it was kind of very hot and humid, but then we go to Lijiang and it's cooler than it is over here in the Bay Area, because it's, you know, because of the elevation. Mm-hmm. But it was always raining, until one time then the clouds kind of parted and I finally got the shot that I wanted to get of the, and we had our sons took a ride on the horses on the same tea horse, the ancient Tea Horse Road. So
oh, how far did they go?
Oh, just for a little ways, but it's just to get the experience of what it really felt like to be on this road.
So when we talk about Tea Horse Road, Tea Horse Road, yeah, you know, in that time, horse only carry tea only.
Oh, really?
People walk.
The people walk, and the horse carries the tea.
Horse and the donkey carry teas. So you see, in that time, when do one trail need 6 to 9 months to walk. And then why they trail in Lijiang? Because Yunnan is a tropical weather. It's warm and humidity and then Tibet is a very high mountain, it's very cold. So Yunnan people cannot walk to Tibet. Tibet because they cannot walk to Yunnan Tea province area too, because too far for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they on the center is exactly like Lijiang area. They're doing the trade there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I remember it's about 14 kilo tea to change one horse.
Wow.
So you can tell the tea in that time is so expensive and it's like a treasure.
Mm-hmm. You know, it seems to me, and maybe this is because of England and its rule of India for so long, but so many people think most tea comes from India. That's been the case for a long time in America, people thinking that.
Oh, okay. So because, you know, in Western country, English is the first country to drink the tea, I think. And then they love the tea. And also in the 19th century or 18th century, English so power. So they...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they have so many countries in the world, right?
Right.
So, and they've been buying the tea from China, but it's a lot of history problem there. So they always want to have own area plant own tea. So they founded India.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the tea was transferred from the Yunnan.
Transferred is a politically correct word.
It's not really by the plant. It's used somewhere.
If you trace the history of tea back, you end up in Yunnan.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's the birthplace of all the world's tea trees. And I've shown just thousands of people. I've shown the picture of, they said it's the oldest tea tree in the world.
I remember you showing that. It's an amazing photograph.
It's over 3,700 years old.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so we've seen the tree. We've been there.
You've been to that tree?
Yes.
And it still thrives today.
It's out in this bluff, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just amazing to think that's the oldest tea tree in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I think they said it's the oldest. It was actually planted, though, right?
Yeah, it's a plant. 3,700 years ago, it's people planted it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. And then you can find a lot of thousand years. It's like a while. And then they're like 60, 70 feet tall.
Yeah, now I can see you with the microphone.
Okay.
I was amazed,
too. We don't really know how long this tree could live.
I think the oldest while it's 2,700.
Uh-huh. I'm doing my best to outlive it, but it'll take
a
while.
Drink more
But you know, when I first time went to Yunnan, 2007, we found a lot of the kind of stone. It's from the tea tree. You know, it's like a stone, but it's a tree become a stone.
Fossilized.
Yeah, fossilized.
Yeah. So it's million years the tea tree have been there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When I was looking, people, when they told me about this Jade Dragon Snow Mountain, I was roughly trying to calculate in my head, and I thought it was around 13,000-something feet, 13,500. Mm-hmm. And then when I look on the internet, it was mentioned something that actually the highest mountain in that range is around 18,000-something feet. So it's amazingly, the height.
That's really high.
It's really high. It's got to be pretty darn treacherous kind of bringing it through these
passes. I can't imagine. I mean, the degree of altitude challenges that you start getting after about 8,000 feet are really remarkable. So if it's going to take 6 to 9 months to make that journey, that's...
Well, it was fascinating, too, because we were listening at some of the history there, and where they actually, some of the emperors, for some reason or other, some of his best tailors, and they were known for leather making shoes and leather goods, and for some reason they were exiled from the kingdom, and they ended up coming, and they were accepted in Lijiang, and so they ended up developing their trade in there, and they became famous for their leather goods and their shoes.
Oh, really? So leather goods and poor tea.
But you're going to need those good leather shoes to go over those mountains.
Absolutely. Well, we've just got a little bit of time left, so let's talk about what you do at the farmer's market. So people can come and see you. You always seem to have like 6 or 7 brews going. You're just brewing, offering tastes.
Because we consider, tea is supposed to like part of like our living, everyday food.
Mm-hmm.
So we always try to try to show the people they are affordable tea and mm-hmm. then for healthy. So every day, every time we went to farmer market, we brew always, mostly we brew the superior, mm-hmm. loose pour. And that's like for day drink. And its price is nice, it's good compared to today. And also it's already 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's old enough to drink for healthy too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, we always carry the extra tea, like for tea collector or for some kind of a different pour that the customer try if they are interested too. Mm-hmm.
I think the message I've been trying to get out for people, if I wanted to pick one thing I could shout from a mountaintop, basically, is that there's, you know, because people in this country, they just spend billions of dollars on Lipitor. I think it was like $130 billion.
Really?
They were just being sued because it causes, they said it was causes diabetes and memory yeah. loss. And there's other people should, I'm not saying it's the only thing, but people should try other ways before they take drugs. You know, there's other things
they
that
so
are very
agree.
Powerful for the, you know, for the blood sugar and cholesterol and weight loss. There's things that, you know, you're saying there's other foods too you should incorporate into your lifestyle, but it's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And you should do that before you try all these drugs. I mean, the numbers are staggering, and diabetes is that's why I would say if you know, if you're an American Indian and there's, you know, a diabetes epidemic, or if you're Hispanic and you know a lot of people that have high blood sugar, mm-hmm. I mean, people lose limbs, people go blind.
Yeah.
It has huge consequences. So, you know, try it and see. What do you, you know, it's going to cost you a bag of tea, you know, to try it.
Right. Do you do tea tastings? Let's say somebody is interested in learning more about this. Maybe they want to invite some people over to their house or something. Is there a way that you make presentations to people?
We do.
I'm pretty new. Like, no.
No.
We used to have a tea tasting like a few times in Côte de Madeira. Mm-hmm. So we just moved to Santa Rosa.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, moving a lot of excitement.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's one of the reasons we need more space for our tea business. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we do the tea tasting, but right now maybe it's not the right time for the big group yet, but the mm-hmm. small group, no problem.
Small group, you can, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll be doing something actually in Berkeley pretty soon to for an event for the
school.
French school. So
oh,
we get around. We'll be at the we're going to be at the San Francisco the International Tea Festival.
When is that?
That is
November 16th.
And kind of proud that, because it's not that big of a space. It's going to be in the Ferry Building, but there's a very limited amount of vendors, and uh-huh. we're kind of proud because we've been doing it since it started. So,
oh, nice!
It's a really great event,
and that's a great event. You can take the ferry over to that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's one of our best events, and
uh-huh.
So it's a great way for us to see people in San Francisco too.
Mm-hmm. And for people in, I know that you joined the Sebastopol Farmers Market. When you were first on the show, you weren't at the Sebastopol Market yet, I don't think. But now you are. And I'm wondering what you're finding. How is that Sebastopol area market for you? What do you find people's interests are? Are they coming because they love the taste of pu'er? Are they coming because they're really interested in its properties? A bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Sebastopol is kind of an interesting place.
I've lived there for
actually,
a while.
last year summer we just start to have a start come to the Santa Rosa Farmer Market, and then we surprise a lot of people drink tea here, and also they know pu'er. That's one of the reason make us want to move here too.
Oh,
because
uh-huh.
yeah, when you sell pu'er, people understand you. That's you know they kind uh-huh. of proud and. Happiness.
Sebastopol
yeah.
people are more open to trying. I think there's more tea drinkers. One of the mm-hmm. reasons that appealed to us about coming to Sonoma County mm-hmm. is that we felt like there's actually more tea drinkers here.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's because of wine and people used to
tasting,
but I think there are a lot of foodies here.
Well, something happened. I think it was about, I'm going to guess maybe 13 or so years ago, a wonderful woman, and I apologize, I'm not going to remember her last name right now, but Mickey, who is from Israel and is living in Israel again with her husband and her children, she opened a little tiny tea shop in Sebastopol, and then moved it to a new location. It was called Infusions, and it's there now. She sold the business. But when Mickey had it, she introduced people all over Sonoma County both to organic teas. She was very careful about sourcing organic teas, and she was the first person who I purchased pour from. And she had really, I trusted her, like you guys. You know, she was really, really good. And it was just eventually, they had their third child, and they wanted to go back to Israel to be with their family. Mm-hmm. So they moved. But Infusions did a lot for spreading the word. But then also, just three blocks from Infusions, is a place called Mystic River Books and Tea. I don't know if you know them yet.
I believe, she's... She's one of our customers.
Okay, yeah. They have some pour as well.
I believe, yes, if that's the name, yes.
Yeah, because after Mickey sold the tea, I don't think they were getting all the same teas there anymore, so I switched from there over to Mystic River because I was getting a couple of pours that I really liked from Mystic River. I went in the other day and they said, oh, we haven't seen you in a long time. It's like, ah. But they've been there several years as well, at least 10. They've introduced a lot of people in Sebastopol or the West County area. So you have a ready audience.
But I'm kind of amazed, too, because from the market in Sebastopol, I realize there's a lot of tourists in Sebastopol as well. So it's not just people from Sebastopol that live the residence. There's a lot of people that are visiting, but there seems to be a good acceptance of tea. So I don't know if it's because of the more of the culture there or what, but there's people are very, when you ask people, you know, do you want to try tea? And a lot of people say yes. You know, other places you go, there's sometimes, no, I have my coffee or whatever.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
And also, in Sebastopol, it's a very high percentage of people already know pour.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of, because when we live in Marin County, mostly like 95% or 98% people have never hear about pour.
Really?
Yes, we always like an education class again and again. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, because they do have one person, I know you know him, David
Hoffman.
David Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yes, David Hoffman has all of that pour out in Forest Knolls or San Geronimo? Lagunitas, that's right, Lagunitas. Yeah, he was on the show a long time ago.
Okay. He's great.
Yeah.
I believe he had a lot of good pool, too.
Yeah, he had the kind that comes packed in mandarin orange peel and packed in bamboo.
Okay.
All different kinds, but... He talked for a whole hour about green pu'er and never got to the black.
I believe he's very knowledge about the pu'er. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did the movie that Les Blank made, All in This Tea.
Yeah.
That was about David Hoffman.
So normally our pu'er don't miss anything yet, because we just want to let the customer really try the pu'er. They didn't feel the tea, it's what kind of quality. And then when you add anything, you can add it by yourself. Mm-hmm. That's easy, yeah.
Okay.
And also, we right now we have a tea bag again for people who don't want to deal with loose tea.
Uh-huh.
And tea bag, the one we made from the we select the loose tea first, and then just like make the tea bag. It's not just from the, like mostly people think, oh, tea bag is from leftover.
Right.
So we really watch out the quality for our tea bag too.
Oh, so you're doing bagged tea?
Yeah, tea bag.
Oh.
So one bag, it's 2.5 grain. Mm-hmm. So you can brew 2 to 3 cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had bags before, but we
sold out,
so we were kind of looking for a new source to make our
bags. Yeah, I forgot to bring today, so I should
let you one try. We have now is 10 years old.
Yeah, right? It's about 10 years old, made it. Yeah.
Which is not normal for tea bags.
No, not at all. Oh, I didn't know you had that. You know what that is really good for is traveling.
Yeah, that for people who, because we have a tour cha too, but they say how, because one tour cha you can make 8 cup. So people say, how do I if I only need 2 cup? So I mean, it's still too much in one tour cha.
Tour cha is, for people who don't know, it's like a little pressed tea. It's just tea that's pressed together. It's almost like a Hershey Kiss kind of size.
Yeah, I bought some of those to take with me on my trip to the East Coast, but I made a mistake. I brewed my first cup. They were green. Okay. The person I was staying with, she loved green pu'er, so I gave the whole bag to her. I have $10 worth. I just gave the whole thing to her, so she'll be happy. Okay. For people who want to see you, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Wells Fargo on Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Yeah.
And then every other week in Sebastopol.
Yeah.
Sundays, 10 to 1:30. If you show up at 9, everybody's already there. And then the website, Pure Pu'er.
PurePu'er.com, www.purepu'er.com. And if you put pure in front of any spelling of the word pu'er.com, you are going to come to our website.
Great. Yeah. And you'll have all of the news with your what will be happening with the chia seed and your new trademark and all that sort of thing. All that news will be on the website.
Yes.
Any updates?
And also Facebook, too.
Oh, Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're really good. If someone has a question, I speak Spanish, too, so, you know, if someone wants to email me in Spanish, I'll be glad to answer them. But we're really good about answering people on email, so if someone has, or you can call us as well, but, you know, if you want to email us a question or something, we'd be happy to.
Excellent. And I can attest, they answer really, really fast. So you won't be kept waiting. So thank you so much. I think this is really exciting. I'm going to get some chia seed. I bought that first bag from you, and it's just about gone. I have to sit it on the kitchen counter because I keep forgetting. So I'm gonna try your 30-day thing. I'm going to do it every day for a month and see what happens.
Poor chia people.
I could use extra energy right now. So on that note, we are out of time here on Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Have a great week. We will probably take next Sunday off because it is Labor Day weekend. Nobody wants to come to the radio station on Labor Day Sunday. Everybody wants to be at a barbecue or out of town. So I'll see you 2 weeks from tonight here on KRCB. Take care of yourself. Have a great couple of weeks.
Grapes are covering the grassland. They're buying up for family farms. They're selling out. Who can blame them? Wine's a cash crop growing strong. And in the fields of Pendle Valley, buildings sprout up like new sown seeds. Now they call it Telecom Central, cause this is what consumers need. I am the hand that rocks the cradle. I am the voice that sings their song. I am the one called local color, salt of the earth but not for long. Take a look, cause I'll come. Gamblers in this brand new gold rush, they're moving in by truck and car, tripling the cost of living. This is progress, we ain't got far. This land once open and free. Well, they got pictures in the museum of local color that used to be.